Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, listen, we got a lot of stuff to get into. It's all presented by Progressive Insurance, and all our guests appear via the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Kendrick Perkins at 1045. It's brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Get the unlimited plan, 25 gigs of high-speed data, 2G for $45 a month, saving you half the cost of big carriers. No contracts, no compromise. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. All right, I got a lot of things to get to. I'm going to start with baseball and then work our way into the NBA. So here's the deal with Major League Baseball. If you're asking me right now, I believe there's still going to be a season. However, here's the deal. In a letter today, or yesterday now, Major League Baseball told the MLBPA that there would be no 2020 season unless the players waived any legal claims against the league. Let me tell you something about that phrase right there, okay? What that means is that Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, and Major League Baseball and the owners believe that a grievance, a lawsuit that the MLB Players Association would file would not only be legitimate, but has a pretty damn good chance of succeeding. So the reality is this: Major League Baseball knows they're wrong, and they've been negotiating off that position the whole time. They have been disingenuous from the get-go. And look, you know how I feel about the messaging the players had. But now, the tables have turned. I didn't like the Blake Snell stuff. I didn't like the Tony Clark stuff. I didn't like the negotiating using financial figures in public. But now, the players have the upper hand, and it's obvious. The owners and Rob Manfred, knowing that they want them to waive any legal claims against the league, that is the epitome, the definition of negotiating in bad faith. Like, think about that for a second. If somebody told you, by the way, let's not go too far, during the Colin Kaepernick situation, remember last year, whatever it was, the workout that got changed or whatever from in Georgia or whatnot. Remember that? Do you know why? Because it's funny. I had this conversation with a buddy of mine this morning on text who, you know, let's just say he doesn't believe in what Colin Kaepernick. He believes that the flag is the reason, which I've tried to look. Some people you're not going to talk off that position, right? Even today, it's hard, some people, to talk off that position. But he's one of those guys. He's a Drew Brees, pre-apology Drew Brees type, okay? And he said to me, but, you know, didn't he change a workout at the last minute because he didn't like the terms? And I said, yeah, he did. And you wouldn't have liked the terms either. He changed the workout because the NFL asked him to sign a waiver that no player in NFL history had been asked to sign. His attorney and agent basically told him not to sign it either because it was BS. If he signed it, it wouldn't have allowed him to continue legal action against the league after the settlement that he had. And by the way, a settlement in a civil suit doesn't preclude you from another civil suit if new information presents itself. Which is the exact situation the Major League Baseball players find themselves in right now. The league is trying to do the same thing that the NFL did to Colin Kaepernick at that workout a year ago. Which is, hey, we're going to slide this thing under here. We'll let you come back, but you got to sign this thing that absolves us of any legal issues. What? What is wrong with people? It's also the same time, I don't know if you've seen the story, where Ohio State is trying to get football players to sign a waiver about coronavirus, kind of limiting their liability if guys get sick or worse at Ohio State football. And then they're trying to say, oh, no, 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 no. It wasn't a waiver. It was just, you know, making sure we're all on the same page. Right. Yeah. I'm sure that's exactly what it was. So don't get it twisted. I still believe Major League Baseball is going to happen. I don't know in what incarnation it's going to be. But I'm telling you this, Rob Manfred, you're in over your head. I told the players they didn't know how to read the room. You don't even know where the damn room is. That's the problem we have here, is that Rob Manfred doesn't even know which room he needs to walk into. Rob Manfred, let me give you a little background on Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred is an attorney, and an attorney at a high-level firm. And you know what they do? They're going to sit there until midnight, and whether you like it or not, and if you're hungry and if you're on that attorney's team, too bad. We're going to hash this out, and we're going to iron this thing out until it's over. Except when you're a commissioner of a professional sports league, you're supposed to do what's in the best interest of your sport. Now, not every commissioner abides by that. Roger Goodell didn't for a long time. Look where he's at right now. Seems to have changed his tune a little bit, no? Adam Silver might be the best, not might be, is the best commissioner in sports currently, and maybe all time already. Why? Because he understands it's a partnership with his players. Not that he's dictating and that he only works for the owners. He tries to bridge the gap. Rob Manfred, forget about bridging the gap. He's destroyed the bridge. There is no bridge at the moment. So this is the problem with Major League Baseball and Rob Manfred right now. He can't get out of his own way. And I know, Bergman, you're fired up about this. I know that you are not, I mean, we know you're not a fan of Rob Manfred, but you are extra fired up about this morning.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, Rob Manfred is the same guy that was saying that the trophy, the World Series trophy, was a hunk of metal. Like, he just doesn't understand what's happening in this right now. And the fact of the matter is, everything he's done has been the exact wrong move. And he knew that the players had all of this completely worked out for him, against him. He went against them in bad faith. And then when all of a sudden Tony Clark comes out, which was genius by Tony Clark and how they figured it all out, and said, all right, let's play. We're just going to sue you later. And then now they're like, whoa, 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 we can't. It's everything that he has done has just shown that he has no clue what he's doing in any sense.
Yeah, he is in over his head.
It's not close.
Yeah.
The guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't understand how anyone can now see this. And look, man, I was there with the people, okay? Because both things can be true, okay? I know we live in this world where everything seems like it needs to be binary. It's like you got to pick a side, right? Take a side, you know, have a take, don't suck, right? All that. Like, but the reality is this. The players started off really rocky on this. And now, Rob Manfred and the owners have galvanized people against themselves. Because for all the mistakes that the players made at the beginning, my God, Rob Manfred and the owners have compounded it threefold, fourfold, fivefold, hell, maybe tenfold at this point.
Yeah, and he has been... They called their bluff. The players essentially called his bluff, and it worked perfectly. The fact of the matter is, saying that there was going to be a 50-game season, there was never going to be that season. And now the players came out and just said, look, all right, fine, you try and do this to us. Let's see how it turns out. And it's not working. Everything that Rob Manfred has touched, he has screwed up completely. He botched the cheating scandal. He's botched negotiations. He's botched safety protocols. He's botched bringing in the young fans. He's botched this entire pandemic. It's awful.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. So anyway, so there's that. So I'm curious. I want to open up the phones at 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. And have you changed your mind on where this baseball thing has gone? Because I have. And again, I haven't really changed my mind all that much. I was okay with the players. I was on the players' side. I was just anti their messaging. And negotiating in public, because that's always a losing proposition. But since then, they clearly have toned that rhetoric down, and all of a sudden, they've let basically the owners step in the crap. And now, you know when you step in crap sometimes, and you're wearing like a sneaker that's got a lot of ridges and stuff in it, and you gotta get the brush to take it out. It's not like a smooth like dress shoe where at least you can just wash it off. No. This has got ridges. You gotta get the brush. The owners have stepped in major poop here. Laura, where? I'm sorry, Greg. You were. I always know you're going to talk because you always breathe in very, very heavily. You go,
it's my way to let you know that I have something to say.
Yeah, go ahead before I go to Laura.
Because we've talked about this in the past about how, you know, I would obviously come back. I'm a huge baseball fan, Dodger fan, and if baseball's there, I'm going to watch it. I'm at a point where I'm getting close. I don't know if I'm there yet, but if there's no season this year, I don't know if I'm going to come back. As long as Rob Manfred is the commissioner of this league, if there is no baseball this year, they may have lost me as a fan.
Wow, that's big for you. Laura, are you there? You getting there? Because you were with Greg the other day, like the rare agreement with you and Greg where you were saying that you would still watch baseball when we did that poll.
I'm actually there. I don't think if baseball doesn't come back, I think I'm done. As much as I love the Dodgers, I just think it's ridiculous. Am I surprised that we're here? No, because of Rob Manfred. But I don't think I would watch baseball anymore. It's not really needed. I have basketball. I'm good.
Wow. Right now. So right now, you're done.
Yeah. If they don't come back, yeah, I'm done. Yeah.
Well, by the way, if they don't come back, they could be done for a while. Like, this could get really, really, really ugly. Like, this could end up being a catastrophic event. I know that there are people out there trying to tell you, nothing to see here. We've had labor strife before. It's not a big deal. 1994, bup, 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 bup. I know there are plenty of people out there telling you that. Here's what I would tell you. The owners and players are dug in a way where all of a sudden you're talking about legally the players have the high ground, not just morally, legally, which has never happened in the history of baseball, which means that this thing could end up playing out in the courts, which means it could absolutely ruin the game on a number of fronts for more than just one season. Very much. Go ahead, Greg.
No, sorry. There's on the other. It's very different from 1994, too, in that we don't know how the players actually felt about what was going on in 1994. They didn't have the platform to come out and say whatever they want. Now on Twitter, you have Trevor Bauer putting out threads of whatever he is thinking and what all the other players are thinking. And then you have guys responding to people like Buster Olney and Jeff Passan about what they're seeing in this game and just talking on Twitter saying, this is all ridiculous.
Where in 1994, we were still in the newspaper age. We weren't even really in the internet age very much. Right. Maybe, I mean, in 1994, was AOL around, you know, where you had to dial up, you know?
Maybe.
Right? When that was basically it. By the way, you know what I miss? Could you imagine if AOL still had chat? If AOL was still around, let's start there. Remember those chat rooms in AOL?
ASL.
Oh, yeah. Age, sex, location for you youngins. You don't know what that is. You don't know what chat rooms are. Those. Imagine if a message board was live, okay? Like literally live. Why do you think chat rooms went away? Like, why did they go away?
Because they were dirty.
Like, well, that clearly they were dirty.
Yeah,
yes.
What was going on in there?
Yeah.
You can't have that life.
They were clearly dirty. I don't think that. But do you miss chat rooms? I'm going to put that up as a poll. Do you miss AOL chat rooms? At Sedano. So, look, well, I want to get into the basketball stuff. I want to open it up, though, for you guys on the baseball stuff. Like, where are you right now? Because I am ready to pull my hair out. Even though I still think a season gets done, it's not going to be done with any real intention of doing this in a way where there's going to be camaraderie. Like, I think it's going to be acrimonious the whole time. 877-710-ESPN. All right, coming up next, I'm going to give you the latest on the NBA situation. There are a number of different things that have happened here over the last 24 hours that I'm going to clue you in on. So we'll get to that. I'm going to put up the poll. Do you miss AOL chat rooms? You can call in on that too. 877-710-ESPN. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. It's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. Today would have been Tupac's 49th birthday. 49th birthday today for Tupac. It's amazing to me how young he was, right, when he passed away. And it is incredible to think. Like, I would love to know what Tupac would be saying about all of the stuff we're dealing with right now. I honestly would be curious to see what he would say about everything from the pandemic to the social unrest, the racial injustice continuing, even his sports takes, right? His music, where it would have evolved to. Like, I would have, God, there are few people right? That in music, right? That I have gravitated to in a way, the way that they performed, the way that they spoke, that I would be genuinely curious to see how they would react to today's society, right? Like, he's one of them. John Lennon is probably another one. There's probably only a couple, right? Like, is there anyone that you loved musically, right? That you say to yourself, you know, Marvin Gaye is probably another one. There's probably, three, four people tops where I say to myself, I wish I would know what that person would be thinking right now if they were alive.
For me, it would be Biggie.
Biggie's a good one too, obviously. Yeah, yeah, for sure. You almost feel like those two go hand in hand in a lot of ways. Bergman, I don't even know if you like music. I've never even asked you, to be honest with you.
Yeah, no, I was always I love Tupac. I was more of the West Coast more than the East Coast, but Childish Gambino right now, he's doing a lot with that,
He's not dead, Greg.
No, I know. So you're talking about the dead guys, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think Biggie, Tupac, and John Lennon are probably the best of those. Bob Dylan. I think he's alive though, actually.
But. Yeah, he is alive, Greg. You're bad at this game. All right, let's just stop that. Yeah, yeah. How about Siobhan Roberts tweets us at Sedano. Bob Marley. It's a good one.
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. So people are responding to my poll. You can vote at Sedano, Sedano. People are saying, here's Kristen writes in. She says, for real, these were the best in high school. Dial up and all. I asked if you miss AOL chats. Sean says, this isn't one. Lakers Central Podcast says, Twitter is one big AOL chat. Beto says, I'm an old man, but what about ASL? And then Giancarlo tweets me and says, I always think technology changes, not dies. Discord is a huge thing, and that Twitter DMs have replaced those chat rooms that were thought to be obsolete. So people are weighing in. I want to see what the actual poll is, though. Let me see what the poll is. The poll is, do you miss AOL chat rooms? 48% say no. 42.1% say yes. 9.9% say, what is that? So there you go.
You can tell who's the millennial.
Yeah, you can vote at Sedano, and you can comment there and have fun. 877-710-ESPN if you want to hop aboard. 877-710-3776. So here's one thing before I get to – actually, you know what? Let me get to the Kyrie stuff. So the NBA, as much as we were just talking about the NFL a second ago, the NBA is also kind of stumbling to the finish line here in a number of ways. But I – you know, even though you could – classify it as stumbling to the finish line. I say that because it felt like a week ago, everybody was excited that the NBA was coming back. And now I think that, understandably so, there's a bit of a pause, right? For a number of different reasons, whether it's the social unrest, right? Whether it's the coronavirus, whether it's injury, right? Because here's the thing. One thing we didn't get to yesterday, and I want to get to the Kyrie portion of this in a second, but I want to make sure I mention this. There was a story yesterday that a number of young NBA players want insurance policies, injury insurance policies, if they go into the bubble. And one of those players includes Kyle Kuzma. Jason Tatum is at the forefront here of this particular movement. Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo, and De'Aaron Fox. And I don't blame them if they want the teams to take out an insurance policy, because all of those guys are up for extensions very soon. And because of the nature of the current situation and setup, right, where guys have been off for 4 months or whatever it's going to be until they get playing again, there might be a chance that we see a rash of injuries. Now, they're trying to mitigate that, the NBA and the Players Association, by having a formal training camp in your home facility, then getting to Orlando on July 7th and having another training camp in essence and quarantining and all that, and kind of getting guys ready and acclimated to their new surroundings until the games start on July 30th. So I think the NBA is taking the right approach to this. But Bergman, we've seen college football players who are going into the draft take out insurance policies all the time. I actually think this is really smart by Kyle Kuzma, Jason Tatum, Donovan Mitchell, Bam Adebayo, and De'Aaron Fox. And if I were another young player who isn't one of those five guys who's up for an extension, I would consider going this route as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a smart thing to do. It's smart business sense. Miles Jack, when he was with UCLA, he did that when he got injured and then went and then left UCLA to get into the draft. That was exactly what he did. A lot of guys do that. It's very, very smart to do, and it's just being business savvy. I don't see why it could ever be a bad thing.
Yeah, I think it makes all the sense in the world. I'm curious to see how the teams feel about it, but if I were the teams, considering those guys are all probably part of the cores of those teams moving forward. I guess, you know, you can make a case Kuzma is or isn't. I don't know. Like, I would assume he is. But, you know, I feel like on a LeBron team, you just never know, right, moving forward about
he was supposed to be. Yeah, he was supposed to be at the beginning of the season. But what happens now?
The other four guys, Tatum, Mitchell, Bam, and Fox, are all absolutely part of the core of their respective teams at the moment. So I think that makes a lot of sense. But even for Kuzma, I hope he does seek that, and I hope that he gets it from the Lakers, if that's indeed the case. But so my point is there are a number of different reasons for guys hitting the pause button here, and it makes sense, okay? The other part of this is, let's get back to the Kyrie thing. And we had what I thought was a phenomenal discussion on this show yesterday. And look, I know that everyone has different tastes and different views, you know, and what I mean by tastes is tastes on how people conduct their talk shows. And I conduct it a certain way, and I try to be very inclusive. I try to include calls. I don't always take calls. Like, we don't do it every day, but I try my best to at least include some interaction with the audience on a daily basis, because I'm a firm believer that you should hear what the other side thinks if you think differently. You should also hear what the side you believe in thinks too, because there can be subtle differences in the way people view things. And that may make you think differently too. And again, I know that, again, some people get uncomfortable by thinking differently. I'm not one of them, okay? So we had a number of different callers yesterday, particularly a couple of callers from Long Beach, Cecil and Alfred, and a number of different guys, Matt and Redondo Beach. We had a lot of different callers call in and give us their thoughts, right? And they weighed in, and they didn't all have the exact same opinions, some, even though they may have agreed in a lot of ways. But we had an open dialogue, and I asked them questions. Not questions because I was trying to combat them. Questions because I was genuinely curious and genuinely want to know what they think. And I think that is how we move forward in all of this, okay? Whether it's trying to figure out the NBA, which is, by the way, the same approach the league is taking, whether it's Michelle Roberts and Adam Silver right now, and even Chris Paul as the president of the Players Association, they want every player to get out there right now and tell us how you feel, so that way we can air all our thoughts and concerns, and we can then kind of figure out what's best for the collective. And by the way, for all the stuff Kyrie has taken, you know, the negative backlash Kyrie has taken, he has said that if the collective moves forward, he's going to support it. So even though I have been questioning Kyrie's endgame here to some extent, even though I'm not questioning his message, because I think the message is absolutely on point. Like, no one, I don't believe, would actually dismiss his message. I think the challenge is the messenger, right? Because we know that Kyrie at times has lacked consistency in his messaging over the years, over a number of different ideas and thoughts and commentaries. I think that the message, though, is not anything that I think most people would disagree with. My next question, though, and I'd love to hear from the audience about this too, like just like we had yesterday. My question is this. I saw Dwight Howard yesterday on Don Lemon's show on CNN. I saw that he was going to be on, and I popped it on. And I thought Dwight made a compelling case. And by the way, he did restate that his frame of mind is just not around basketball at the moment. It doesn't mean that he's not going to play. So I want to make sure we get that out on the front end, okay? Because I don't want to misconstrue what him or Kyrie or anyone is saying, for that matter. But he did talk about things in generalities, right? Now, he did cite specific instances about what we're seeing with George Floyd, right? And he cited specific instances about the pandemic. But what I mean by generalities, and Kyrie has also done this because Kyrie has also released a statement since then, is that my question is, outside of stating that they prefer to sit out the season to focus on far more important things, which I agree with, is it's unbelievably more important, both the pandemic and racial inequality. My question is, I don't know that I've seen Kyrie or Dwight, or anyone for that matter, give a strategy as to how to get the results that they need and seek. And that's what I mean by speaking in generalities. And that's one of those things to me that I'd like to know more about. Now, maybe that's the conversation that they're going to have now moving forward. But we're, you know, several days into this now where Dwight and Kyrie and a number of players have had their own objections. And I believe that I think we would have an idea of where they want to go with this. And Laura, do we have the sound that I sent you last night from Michael Wilbon on PTI? Do we have that sound? Okay, I want you guys to hear what, and listen, you know how I feel about Michael. I love Michael Wilbon, okay? He's one of the greatest journalists of our generation, okay? To me, when he says anything about anything, I'm going to listen because he comes with perspective, he comes with context, he comes with experience. Okay, he's been around a long time, and he has been one of the foremost authorities on sports and beyond for a very long time in this industry. So here's what he said, and I want you guys to take a listen to it.
And then there's the issue of whether or not people should be playing because of the protests in the aftermath of George Floyd. And Tony, just let me say this. If you got concerns about coronavirus, I understand that. People will have concerns. Some guys have voiced that. But for Kyrie Irving and Dwight Howard to say, we don't want to work because we want to pay attention. That's your platform, gentlemen. You're not college professors. You're not musicians. You're not the heads of industry of science and technology. Everybody has a platform at a certain level. You are elite, skilled athletes with an enormous platform. Use it. If you don't use it, that would be shameful and irresponsible. Use it. You got a microphone every day. Pick up the mic and open your mouths. You can continue the dialogue. Charles Barkley said it best this morning on Get Up when he said, what are they talking about? Out of sight, out of mind. What are you saying? You're before the public on one of the two great international sports stages in the world, soccer and basketball. So what are you saying? We don't want to play. This is what you do to hold people captive. You've got to be that smart. And if you're not that smart, there are people surrounding you who are that smart. I know Austin Rivers and others get it. And so, Tony, I must think there's still going to be a season. They're still going to play. Coronavirus issues, the bubble, that's over here. I understand it. Yeah. We just don't want to play because we don't want to distract attention. What? That's insane reasoning. But here's the other problem. You start giving back money. You start leaving money on the table. This is a very practical element. Let me say directly to Kyrie and Dwight Howard. If you guys are too young and you've had money all your lives and you don't get it, then ask your daddies. Ask your uncles. Ask your older cousins. Black people always need money. Black causes always need funding. What the hell are you talking about? You don't give back hundreds of millions of dollars. You take that money and you use your platform and you call attention to it. You didn't hear Jim Brown and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Bill Russell and Arthur Ashe say, "We're not playing." They used the platform they had to call attention to just what you're trying to call attention to. So I would say to the guys out there like Chris Paul and LeBron James, who I know get this and have worked to this end, and Austin Rivers and so many others, you better drown their voices out. Because I don't know what they're talking about, but you don't leave money on the table that you could use to fund anything you want. And you never give up a platform and a microphone. Never.
Yeah, and that was kind of my point yesterday, that you have this unbelievable platform that you should be able to take advantage of. And I don't think that Kyrie and Dwight and Avery Bradley, who I believe are on the same page here, and if Avery Bradley's not, I apologize, but my understanding is based off what I've read that that's the case. And if that's the case, like you should take advantage of this. And again, we're talking about a league that has been very much front and center in empowering their athletes to speak their mind, to protest, to demonstrate. And I know that yesterday some of the concerns were, well, we've done the stuff with the t-shirts and this, that, and the other. That doesn't mean that the next step isn't going to be more profound. You know what I'm saying? Especially when you're dealing with a league as progressive as the NBA, especially when you're dealing with a league as progressive, with a commissioner as progressive as Adam Silver. And here's what I would say, and I know people are calling in, and we'll take your calls on this and Major League Baseball and all the things we've talked about today at 877-710-ESPN. But I went back yesterday, and YouTube is a great tool in this way, right? And reading, obviously, is a great tool as well. And I went back and watched the 1968 Olympics, the 200-meter dash, with Tommy Smith and John Carlos, okay? The Summer Olympics in Mexico. And remember that this was, my God, it's been 52 years now since then. And John Carlos and Tommy Smith each won medals in the 200-meter dash. And as the American national anthem played during the victory ceremony, Smith and Carlos bowed their heads and raised their black glove fists. And if you remember what happened that year, okay? And maybe you don't. Maybe you weren't even alive. Like, I wasn't alive, but I'm a history buff, man. Like, I'm the guy who goes to bed every night and watches a documentary on Netflix for 2 or 3 hours before I go to bed. So, I especially now when there's no sports. But if you remember that year, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated. Robert Kennedy was also assassinated. And there was a lot of social unrest in this country, as there should have been at that particular time, because of where we were. Okay? And Tommy Smith and John Carlos, okay, made their protest famous because they took the platform that was given to them and still raced and used that opportunity. And by the way, they were suspended for it, okay? But at the press conference, and this is what I wanted to look up, Tommy Smith said this: "If I win, I'm an American, not a black American. But if I did something wrong, if I did something bad, then they would say that I was," his quote, "a Negro. We are black and we are proud of being black. Black America will understand what we did tonight." And during that ceremony, they brought attention to their cause. Now, granted, it's 52 years later and we're still having that conversation. So I get the frustration. I do. I can empathize with that. And we talked about it a lot yesterday. But I think, to Michael Wilbon's point, if you don't take away a microphone if you get your chance to say what you want to say. And I understand social media nowadays is different and you can attend the protest. I understand that. But the statements have already been made by Jaylen Brown, by Russell Westbrook, by the guys in that league who have attended the protests. Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, right? And so on and so forth. And I did talk about this yesterday too, where this country politically is mobilized by money. And if you walk away from this as an NBA player, you're walking away from the opportunity to make money. Millions upon millions of millions of dollars. Billions if you do it as a total and as a collective. And that's how you implement change. That's how you implement change. Laura, find me the Charles Barkley cut that we had yesterday too. Because I think that, you know, you heard Michael say that he agreed with Charles, and I want you to hear what Charles had to say yesterday on Get Up.
I think it would be stupid to not play for two reasons. Number one, if they don't play, they're going to be out of sight, out of mind for the rest of the year. There won't be no cameras following. And, you know, LeBron is probably the most famous athlete in the United States. He won't be visible anywhere. And so us out of sight, out of mind. Also, these guys got to realize this money going to come back. And they're going to lose billions of dollars that the players could use to go into their own communities and do some great stuff. So it's not good on any front. I have no idea what Kyrie and Dwight are talking about, but it'll be a catastrophic mistake not to play.
And again, Charles, look, you can say what you want about Charles and Michael and, oh, you're old and you don't get it. They've been you, okay? They've been young. They understand, and they also have experience on their side and understand that mobilizing politically takes money. It does. And that, as much as anything, whether it's mobilizing bodies to vote like LeBron has or will and will be doing along with Jalen Rose and a number of different players, including Steph Curry and a number of NFL players like Carson Wentz, who are involved in that project, all those guys understand that that's how you do it. You do it at the ballot box, and you do it with money. It doesn't mean that you can't do it physically protesting. It's not to diminish that by any stretch of the imagination. Demonstration is absolutely part of this. You heard me a couple weeks ago when what happened in Washington, D.C. and the way it had affected me when people were peacefully protesting, that there were actual priests out there handing out water and how upset I was. Like I don't think I've ever been more angry coming on the air as I've ever been that Wednesday after that Tuesday. So I believe in that, okay? I'm all about it. Like I'm here with you on that. But there are multiple ways of attacking this problem. And that's the point, is it gets back to what is the strategy? And that's the stuff I'm not trying to diminish Kyrie's messaging. I'm not trying to diminish Kyrie's messaging or Dwight's messaging. The message is absolutely important. But what I'm trying to tell you is there needs to be more than just messaging. You can't just speak in generalities. Like you have to have a strategy. And LeBron clearly has a strategy. It's getting people to the polls and clearly using his money and putting his money where his mouth is. Russell Westbrook with his documentary on the massacre in Tulsa, right? Of an affluent black neighborhood. That's putting your money where your mouth is, creating awareness. There are multiple ways to do that. And the way you do that is also continuing to have your platform. That's my opinion. Again, people can think differently. I'm not trying to dissuade you from thinking differently. I'm just trying to tell you how I feel. And if you have a difference of opinion, I'd love to hear it. Because, again, I want to have an open dialogue on this show constantly when we talk about anything, whether it's sports or whether it's serious social issues. Or whether it's nonsense like, do you miss AOL's chat? You know what I mean? Like we want to be able to mix it up here and create a community that we can all listen to each other. And even though we may not always agree with each other, but that's part of this. 710 ESPN Radio here is presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Coming up at 10:45, Kendrick Perkins is going to stop by. At 11:15, Antonio Davis. We played Antonio Davis's sound yesterday. He's the former president of the NBA Players Association, so he brings a unique perspective to this. He's dealt with a number of different things over his career as the president of the Players Association, including a labor stoppage, which could happen if the season doesn't resume. So I want to talk to him about Kyrie's position, LeBron's position, because he also did state that he feels like LeBron could do more. So I want to get his thoughts on all that, and that's going to be at 11:15. So this segment brought to you by our friends at My Computer Career, Training for a Better Life. And, of course, I want to tell you one more time that we're going to have Kendrick Perkins on, and we're going to do that next. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. Don't forget, all this week we'll be announcing a nominee who will receive an honorary ESPY from 710 ESPN. On Friday, we'll announce and interview the winner. These nominees are from our 710 Senior Shoutout entries from earlier this year. Today's nominee is Iyasu Worku from UC Irvine, the Anteaters, baby. In his senior year, Iyasu was the captain and led the basketball team in three-pointers made, assists, steals, and minutes played. During his 4 years, his team won the Big West Championship three times, and he's the only Ethiopian Division I basketball player. Watch the 2020 ESPY show this Sunday on ESPN at 6 Pacific, hosted by Russell Wilson, Sue Bird, and Megan Rapinoe. And don't forget, download the Overheard podcast for curiously delightful conversations overheard from around National Geographic's headquarters, presented by Geico. 15 minutes can save you 15% more on car insurance. So Kendrick Perkins will be joining us in 2 minutes to give us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. So, Bergman, let me ask you this real quick. I saw this was trending last night, and Laura, you too. And it was trending about In-N-Out, okay? So immediately I saw In-N-Out was trending, and I'm like, oh, no. Like, what's happening with In-N-Out? Like, I, you know, my mind races, right? Like, what's happening with In-N-Out? So I check, and it's basically a bunch of people yammering about that the fries are overrated.
Whoa. Don't do that. That's not fair. The fries are delicious, and especially if you get the animal fries where you get everything else on top of it. I love their fries. But I will say this. I was very anti-fry when I was younger. But now that I've been eating them more often, they're delicious.
Laura, where are you on In-N-Out's fries? Because I am not a huge fan. I get you can throw stuff on it or whatever, but just the actual fries are not that good.
Yeah, Greg, ridiculous. The fries suck. It's all about the burgers.
Sure.
The fries. You don't go to In-N-Out for fries. I don't care whatever you put on them, however crazy you get, they suck. I love
no.
In-N-Out. Yes, they do. I love In-N-Out.
She's kind of right. They do.
No, okay. I'll give you the fact that you don't go to In-N-Out for fries. Of course not. But their fries are very good. They're real potatoes, and they're fried correctly, and I think it's in vegetable oil. It's much better for you. Their fries are really, really good. I will not stand for the slander of the In-N-Out fries.
They're not very good.
Oh, no, they're delicious. Delicious. No, I'll take them over any other fries.
McDonald's fries
are way better.
Okay,
get
look,
out of here.
Yeah, McDonald's fries were good when I was like 8.
And no! Now
they're
no!
way too much salt on them. What? It's like you're eating basically just salt.
No, you ask with no salt. And then you get them done right at that moment.
Really good. Yeah. In-N-Out fries are bad even when they're hot.
Exactly.
No, In-N-Out fries are great. I can even eat them a little bit cold.
Ew.
Oh, yeah. Delicious.
They taste like cardboard and they're cold.
Mm-mm, they are so good.
I feel like Greg is trying to get In-N-Out sponsored or something right now.
God, that would be the greatest sponsor ever.
I love their burgers. I do. They're fantastic. The In-N-Out burger is the best fast food burger. Their fries are just not that good. It's just okay.
You get a double animal style. You get the animal style fries and a chocolate shake, which is very, very heavy. But that's a great meal right there.
You're crazy.
I don't know.
It'll fit you the whole day.
Laura, let me know when Kendrick is coming. Yeah. So that was trending. I also saw Krispy Kreme was trending, and I was a little worried about them. I'm like, oh no, did they say something like racist or something, or did they say did they say something like inappropriate? Like, because here's the thing, like, it's not like we haven't seen fast food chains say stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? So like. I was a little worried, like, oh no, am I going to have to give up donuts now? Because, I'm not standing behind you on that one. Krispy Kreme. But they weren't. They weren't. They were also being classified as overrated, which I thought, now that I thought was crazy.
Okay, see, they are a little bit overrated. Outside of just the regular glazed donut from Krispy Kreme, the rest of it is just meh. They're not all that great.
Right.
And isn't it funny, though, that whenever you see something trending, your first thought is, oh, no, what'd they do?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Laura, what's happening with Perks? Are we having this? We have this issue here. Can you explain the issue we have here when we try to call people?
So for whatever reason, sometimes our number doesn't show up, so people don't answer it. It's like they have a blocked. So when I'm calling, they're like, hey, I'm not receiving your message. But it's them having a block on their phone because our number is blocked, if that even makes sense.
Right. Yeah, it's weird. So I just text him. But yeah, this always happens. Bergman, you are the godforsaken corporate person here. Why can't we get phones that call people that don't get blocked? Like, this happens all the time.
I don't know what's going on. I can look into that. How about this? I'm going to give you a very corporate answer for you, George. I'll make sure to look into that today after the show to see if there's something.
I mean, for the love of God, how many times does this need to happen to poor Laura, where she's trying to call somebody and it goes like, because our number is a certain way, it doesn't go to their phone or it gets, you know, put on like the block list. Like, can we just get a number that reaches people that just is a regular number?
I mean, it comes up as a 213 number. I don't know how else to.
It doesn't.
What else to change?
So someone told me it came out like a random weird number. And I'm like, I literally want to turn on the phone so you guys could hear what we hear. Because sometimes I feel like I'm like, maybe they don't think I'm calling. But yeah, it's crazy. They get a weird number on their end.
Yeah. Lakers, Big Willie Kane or Big Willie Can tweets me. Says, Sedano, In-N-Out fries do stink. It's obvious he's just creating content. McDonald's fries are the best. He knows that. He's talking about you, bro.
No. I'm not creating any type of contact with this. This is very much a real opinion.
Well, listen,
because that's nonsense. You guys are both nonsense.
Well, listen, I don't know if you he didn't tag you, but I would not argue with Big Willie Can because he looks pretty yoked, is all I would say. So I would not call him nonsense.
Then I would say just very politely, I disagree with you.
Kendrick Perkins joins us now here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. Perk, before I even get to all the basketball stuff I want to talk to you about, who's got the best fries of all the fast food places?
What's up, my brother? What do you mean? It's hands down, in my opinion, Chick-fil-A. I'm a waffle fry type guy.
Whoa! Off the board!
I gotta go with Chick-fil-A fries. They do something special for me.
That's a major upset, Perk. I had no idea you were going with the waffle fries from Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, I love Chick-fil-A fries. I got to go with them, George.
Okay, here's the second question, because we were having this debate. Are Krispy Kreme donuts overrated?
No.
Thank you.
No. Yeah. Krispy Kreme donuts, that's you know what? Listen, George, I'm supposed to be on a diet, man. You're tempting me right now. I'm supposed to be on a diet, man. You got my mind all over the place. I'm thinking about going to Chick-fil-A, grab two large order of fries, and I might find me some Krispy Kreme donuts. I do not believe Krispy Kreme donuts is overrated.
Okay.
Now, what I do believe is that, you know, you only could eat like two or three of them.
Yeah.
Because after a while, it's too sweet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know how something could be too much? Like, you know, I just feel like Krispy Kreme donuts are good. It just... not too many of them. Two or three is the
yeah,
best.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes there's too much of a good thing is what I would
right.
say. I agree with you, Perk. So, Perk, and by the way, I saw that video of you with those handles. Look, I've always said, I said this to Shaq one time, and he laughed at me, and I said, all you big men, you all want to be point guards at heart. You all want to be point guards at heart.
You know that. Look, all big men want to be point guards, and all guards want to be big men. That's how it is. You know, because guards was wishing, they was like, man, I wish I was 6'10", I would be dominating. And bigs would be like, I could handle the rock, too. And I just had to show. But listen, let me tell you a funny story about this. I had to do that video 8 times before I finally picked the right one because I kept losing my hand only. And I had to show the world that I had a little mix. I could get my bag a little bit.
It was awesome. It was awesome to see Perk. So Perk, obviously a lot of stuff going on in the NBA right now. And let's talk about Kyrie and Dwight and Avery Bradley and the group that doesn't want to play because of the social unrest and the situation that we're dealing with currently in the country with racial inequality. While I believe that that message, and no one would be, I mean, I don't know anyone that wouldn't be behind that particular message, that it is important. It's certainly important. I believe that having the platform that we possess, okay, whether it's in the media, whether you're a player, having that platform is important, and having money behind the machine to be able to raise awareness to these particular causes are equally as important. Perk, why do you believe that Kyrie and Dwight and these guys who believe otherwise that the season shouldn't resume believe what they believe? Where are you on them right now?
You know what? Your guess is good as mine because I don't understand. Like, it makes no sense to me. NBA holding out, right, does what for what? I mean, what change is that going to make? It don't hurt the owners. You know, we're only hurting the players. And guess what? 80% of the NBA is made up of African Americans. So you're only hurting the players, which now you're taking money out of the African American players' pockets, who's going to give that money back to the communities and invest back into the communities who also inspire other young African Americans. So I don't understand the logic behind it. And my thing is, if you're going to come up and say something publicly and try to make a stance, you got to have a plan behind it. And I don't know what's the plan behind it. Because, okay, we make a stance and we're not playing basketball. Then what? We just said we're not playing basketball? Is that going to change the world? Like, that's crazy to me. That's crazy to me. It's to the point where it's like it wasn't well thought of. Obviously, you could see a lot of guys wasn't aware of the meeting, and a lot of guys don't agree with the meeting because Kyrie Irving, who's our vice president, had been on those conference calls over the last 2 months saying that he wanted basketball to come back. He was one of those guys that was on the phone. Matter of fact, just last week, Kyrie Irving was just asking the Players Association in the NBA, could he go down to Orlando even though because he was on the inactive list? And I guess they told him no, and now all of a sudden you come out with this, like with no facts behind it, or not even talking to the president or other players before you just come out and make a public statement. That's poor leadership skills.
Kendrick Perkins joining us here, friend of the program, NBA champion. So, Perk, let me ask you about the strategy part of this, because I'm with you. I also think that, look, as much as you and I and everyone would want this to be resolved as quickly as possible, what I mean is just racial inequality, right? Like, we all want to strive for that. I don't think that that change is going to happen overnight, because as much as you and I are on the same side, clearly, there are people who are not necessarily on our side.
Right.
So I believe that to the strategy point is that this is going to take years, maybe even decades, to get to that point if we're going to strive to get there. And so what would be the question then, or what would be the answer to that? Are you not going to play basketball for years or decades even?
That's what I'm saying. It don't make sense. Listen, racism has been around for, what, 400-plus years? And it's going to be around for another 400-plus years. You can't change that. We're not going to be able to change that overnight. The only thing that we have control of is who we vote for. That's the only thing as an individual in America, you have the control to go out there and vote. And guess what? We got to make that – we got to emphasize that. That's why I think LeBron James came up with a nice strategic plan with more than a vote, because that's the only way we're going to make change, is educating people on who to vote. Don't let the system lie to you about voting, where to vote, you know, et cetera, because we need to get the right people in office. We can't change racism. We could change the system, though, by voting for the leaders. And this is what I'm saying, man, like when we come up and we just speak out publicly with not having the right knowledge or education behind what we're trying to prove, it makes no sense. Like, for example, Listen, I'm frustrated just as much as any African American, right? For as you know, waking up to you know another African American losing their life to police brutality, to racism. But on the flip side of it, we have to come up with another solution. Do I have the answer? No. But I know right now, protesting, marching, you know, rioting, that haven't changed anything. It haven't changed anything over the last 50 years. All it's doing is making more people get, since we started protesting and rioting, guess what happened? Just more people have been getting killed lately. And there's been more times you waking up, looking on your television and a police officer shot this African-American or they found someone hanging from a tree. Like, that's not, we're not solving the problem. We're adding fuel to the problem. Now, what we need to do is find a way to go have sit downs and meetings with chiefs of police, mayors, governors. You know, a lot of these high power athletes have relationships with a lot of people in the White House, even our so-called leader in Trump. That is the solution right now. We got to have conversation and say, look, we got to have change, because protesting and rioting, all they're saying is to the police department and to the government is that we're declaring war, and that's not going to solve the problem.
Kendrick Perkins joining us here on the Sedano Show. Perk, how do you feel if you had to guess? You know, actually, let me walk this back a little bit. Should we look into how much should we look into the fact that LeBron was not part of that call? And I know Kyrie had a second call, and he wasn't part of that either.
Well, I mean, because it's just, why entertain it? You know, we all can't, like I said before, they all was on calls months ahead of time, and Kyrie was all in for it. And then all of a sudden, one thing I know about LeBron James is that he don't entertain drama. He don't like unnecessary drama. He address issues when need be, but being on that phone call proves what? You know, he don't agree with it, because once again, we all know that LeBron is an intelligent human being. George, you know that. You know from being around LeBron, he's very smart, and he's not going to just jump on the call all because we're acting out of emotions with no plan behind it. So he's doing the right thing. And guess what? He wasn't the only person that didn't jump on the call. It was a lot of other people, high-power athletes, that didn't jump on the call. Like that's, and this is where it comes down to the poor leadership of Kyrie Irving.
Kendrick Perkins with us here. Perk, if you had to guess, you know, because Antonio Davis is going to join me at 11:15 here. And he kind of clarified some of his statements, right, where he said, I don't know if you heard, where he had said that he would like for LeBron to kind of speak publicly on this, not just on social media, like to actually put words to what the way he feels, because he feels like it would carry weight. Do you believe LeBron needs to do more than tweet or go on social media? Do you believe that when it comes to this specific issue about the return and Kyrie's concerns or Dwight's concerns, do you believe that he needs to vocalize his position?
No, I don't, because it's just going to add more fuel to the fire. Because if he do go on there and he speak how he feels and he disagree with Kyrie, then what? It's just adding more. It's just dividing us even more. So he's doing the right thing, because he might not agree. I'm not saying he don't. He might agree or he might not, but why even entertain it? And right now, you know what we need? We don't need, yes, African-Americans with power. Yes, keep speaking out, right? Keep speaking out, keep tweeting out, keep using your platform. But right now, we actually need the white Americans with power to speak out on our behalf, because right now, you know, with the killings of the African Americans, when the African Americans speak out with power, they say, oh, he's just saying that because it happened to a black person. But if a person of a different race speaks out on a situation that happens to another person of a different race, then it sings a different song. So at the end of the day, no, LeBron James don't need to speak out about a meeting that Kyrie conducted. Like, no, why? Speak out for what? And cause more conflict if he says something that goes against Kyrie? No, he just won't say nothing at all. He don't need to entertain it, in my opinion.
Kendrick Perkins hanging out with us here on the Sedano Show. You're listening to KSBN Los Angeles. Perk, let's talk about some of the stuff about the bubble, right? And some of the concerns. Mm-hmm. Like, if you were playing, what would be your biggest concern?
I mean, just what do you do in your off time? I mean, that's it. I mean, but that's my only concern. When we're talking about a $1 billion business, we know that it's going to be first class everything. We got the best commissioner in sports. My biggest concern is, what am I going to be doing in my off time? Because I don't play video games, so what I'm going to be doing? You know, like, and that's my only concern. I'm not concerned about the testing. I'm not concerned about anything. I know the NBA is in good hands. I know they have done their research from top to bottom, and I know they got all their ducks in a row, and I know that this situation that they set up is going to be damn good for all the NBA players that are going down to Disney.
I know there have been some guys that have been concerned about the family situation and that family won't be allowed to be there until maybe after the first round of the playoffs. I get those concerns, right? Like, you're kind of isolated, to your point, what you're going to be doing in your downtime. And Adam Silver said it yesterday, Perk, it's not going to be easy, right? Like, this isn't necessarily going to be something that's easy, but it is necessary based on the situation. But, like, what would you suggest to maybe some of the guys, some of the young guys particularly, right, who don't have a big family, like how they can kind of manage their time in that situation as kind of an elder statesman?
Well, you know what? It's getting your mind right. And guess what? If you bored, the gym, guess one place that you can always go to is the gym and work on your game. So guys don't have no excuses. So you could go to the gym and work on your game, you know. This is also a perfect opportunity to research. Research on what's going on. Research and educate yourself on votes. Research and educate yourself on how you could make change in America. You could use your time wisely. Just like guys did during the pandemic, a lot of NBA guys lost weight and 20, 30 pounds. Jokic looked like a completely different person. It's a lot of things that you could do during that time. But hey, you know, you're there to play basketball, you're there to compete, and to me, the gym is always going to be open. You're always going to have your phone, so you can always go on Google. It's always books to read, and right now is a perfect time to not only focus on basketball while you're down there, but focus on educating yourself on the political side of the world and if you're going to use your platform to, you know, reach out to people and tell them to vote and educate them on who they need to vote for and why. So they can use their time wise. Then guess what? They go have card games, Blu-ray games, and guys go find us. They go be playing NBA 2K against each other. They go get through it. I don't want to hear that. They go get through it.
Yeah. And by the way, for the single guys and even the married guys, they could always FaceTime their wife or girlfriend, right? For, you know.
Right. Right, that's all they need to do, man. They'll be fine. They'll be fine. It ain't nothing but a little sacrifice.
All right, let me ask you real quick about some actual basketball. The layoff. I know LeBron mentioned, you know, a couple months ago that, and you know this, you played with him, right? I know this, I covered him, that he, you know, he has a ramp up, right, to get to a certain place, to get his body, get his mind in a certain place. And he said that this is a different challenge for him, obviously something that nobody's faced, but that he would have to kind of reassess the way he gets himself ready during this particular ramp up. The Clippers, on the other side, you know, had a lot of injuries. Paul George or whatnot, Kawhi, they had some chemistry issues, even though they were playing well for the most part. When you look at those two teams in particular, do you have any concerns, or do you feel like this actually could benefit them? The time off could be beneficial for those two particular teams.
It can, because you know, when you talk about the Lakers, first of all, I love Bron to death, but he's not about to get me with that psychological, you know, game he's playing. We know that he's in great shape. He's been working out every day, and he got 3 weeks of training camp. I know LeBron James. He will be ready to play. The Lakers benefited in a way that Anthony Davis had been dealing with nicks and bruises, and he had been hurt, so he got a chance to get healthy. When you look at the Clippers, Paul George had been injured. Kawhi, with his low management and his knee issue, they had a chance to get healthy. So they also, they're giving them 3 weeks of training camp. We never had 3 weeks of training camp. So guys are going to have more than enough time to have inter-squad scrimmages, get a lot of shots up, get their legs up on them. And then, once again, we got the NBA. This is the best of the best. You're talking about when you look at the athletic and medical staff. So them guys will be fine. I'm not falling for that. Bron know better. Bron is in shape. I'm not going. He just playing that game with us. Don't fall for it, George. You know we know him.
Kendrick Perkins joining us here. You know, you got your old coach in Doc on that side, and you got your old teammate in LeBron on the other side. What do you make of the potential clash of those two teams, Perk?
Ooh, may the best man win. I'm not picking a side. Hey, look, may the best man win. I love both of those guys. It's going to be competitive. Obviously, we expect both of those guys to meet up in the Western Conference Finals. But we'll see, because I'm telling you what, the Rockets are not going down easily. I guarantee you. But, you know, hey, you're looking at LeBron, who's, you know, all-time great, and you're looking at Doc Rivers, who's a hell of a coach, who got a nice team. It'll be something worth watching, I tell you that. I just can't wait for it to get back. I tell you that much.
Yeah, I'm with you, Perk, for sure. No doubt about it. Perk, thank you so much for the time, as always, my friend, man. You are the best. And stay away from those waffle fries, man. I know you're trying to diet, okay?
I sure was thinking about it. I appreciate it. Anytime, George. Thanks for having me, man.
All right, my man. Be good. There he is, Kendrick Perkins. We love him. He's one of the best, dude. He's awesome. And I love just how real he is, you know? So, all right. We've got Antonio Davis coming up at 11:15 or so. So we got some time to take calls. If you want to weigh in on anything Kendrick said, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. So we'll open it up to you. And also, I want to get into some stuff about college football that's also been resonating with me, particularly the way that coaches use their influence. So we'll get to that in a second. And Major League Baseball will update you on that as well.